Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Back again.
We here, baby.
Always on the weekend. Bruh, Migos Podcast back. Another episode for you.
In the building.
In the building.
Digitally.
Look, and we all here. We mic'd up. We sounded good for y'all. We looking good for y'all. We ready to give y'all back that show. We already ready. You already know I'm Price. I'm here with Rob, Visky, my bros. That's why this is
Bro Migos.
Yep, that's Rob right now. And that's why this is Bro Migos Podcast. And today, gentlemen, we have to start off. We're going to talk a little NBA, a little MLB, a little WWE, but jumping into this NBA. Rob, I see the topic that you put up here. Is Jonathan Kuminga the Warriors? Oops, baby. Is he really? Is that how you think about that man?
So yeah, like for people that of a certain age, sometimes you're you get the kids, they're out of the house, you got everything to where you and say your lady, let your man, y'all about to be empty nesters, and then y'all still getting it on, y'all still getting it in, technology is a wonderful thing. And all of a sudden, your lady is now feeling, a little hot. Now it's like, everything's kind of changing, and it's like, what, they go to the doctor and all of a sudden it's like, you guys are having a baby. And you're like, yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
But it's like, you're like, no. Because it's like, hey, we've already done. The kids already got out the house. They going to do their own thing. Man, everything is cool. Everything is chilling. Now we're about to be on the back end. And here's starting over once again. And so when I think about Jonathan Kuminga, and when I think about the Warriors at this time, when the time that they drafted Jonathan Kuminga, think about it. Mm-hmm. This they had just come off being the eighth seed. They had drafted Jonathan Wiseman the year before. A year basically where they had the number two pick because they were so damn bad. Granted, it was a COVID year. They didn't make it in the bubble and all that kind of good shit. Yeah. But it's like, they were so damn bad. But yeah, it's like, this seemed like, all right, you're drafting this guy, number four, Jonathan Kuminga. He's going to basically anchor your team. You're going to basically find a way to offload Steph sooner or later. You're going to find a way to offload Draymond sooner or later. And basically end the dynasty unto itself. But then you make a finals run. Then now everything is basically like, oh shit, we got to make sure Steph is great. We got to make sure Draymond's great. We got to make sure all this stuff is kept stable because now we have a viable title contender. Not even title contender. We have a viable title champion. And now it's like, where is Jonathan Kuminga going to go? Because Jonathan Kuminga has to go from being the future to being a piece. And it's hard for a guy that basically seemingly was going to have the keys kind of handed to him as, hey, we're going to develop this thing seemingly around you as, the number four pick. Because you don't really have somebody like that just be a side piece. And you don't really have, you generally don't have teams that basically win a championship after drafting number four. Unless that guy is a big piece of that. But he wasn't in that title run. He was just a guy. And so I think that the part of the development, because I've been asking the question for years at this point. I probably annoyed y'all about how many times I asked the question. What is Jonathan Kuminga? And I think part of the reason why that happened is, is because he was their oops baby. They weren't really able to develop him because they weren't really planning to basically be, have their lives be much better than what it was. They were basically like, all right, you are on the downturn. Here's this kid coming around. And now we got to both develop him and the Jordan Pools of the world and everything like that. We got to develop him while also basically making sure that our mainstays are still great. And I think that's almost impossible to do. You can't basically build for the future and stay in the present at the same time. And so I think when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, he was somebody that wasn't, he was more of a oops than somebody that basically was like the plan.
I can definitely see where you're coming from with that. So my only thing about that is, them motherfuckers getting old, Rob. They ass is getting old. They have to. I'll say this. It was unfortunate that you had to get rid of Jordan Poole. Because Jordan Poole had a lot of upside to him to me. He really
did.
But, you know, unfortunately, somebody can't keep their hands to themselves inside the Warriors organization. He's also been labeled a fake tough guy. You know, you at times. I'm just saying what I heard through the grapevine. But I think at some point, these dudes are old, bro. Somebody else is going to have to step up.
Right.
Like, who else do you have? Steph is old. Steph is like 37 right now. Like 36, 37 years old, though. Draymond got salt and pepper beard on the flu.
Man, okay. he looks ancient and getting ancienter by the second.
He literally has salt and pepper beard on the floor. He's arguing with Steve Curry at times. Okay? He's being old and contrary. Let's just be real. I don't know. What you think, Biscuit? Do you think that how can that work?
I kind of think I get the oops baby, but I kind of think he's getting more of the Jan Brady middle child slash redheaded stepchild treatment. Like, oh, you're there. We're not paying attention. We know you're there, you know, because I don't think he really needs a lot of development. I think it's more of feeling wanted, feeling useful, putting him in a place to where giving him the opportunity to show what he can do.
Right.
Because when you see him play, when they let him loose and actually give him the chance, he show out. I just feel like they're not giving him that chance. They're not making him feel important. So that's why we don't really see what Jonathan Kuminga could really do, because they don't make him feel like he's a piece. They make him feel like he's just an afterthought.
One of the dudes.
Put him in a place. Yeah, if you put him in a place to where he can be the man, then we can see. Because I don't really think development is the issue. I think it's more of feeling wanted.
So here's the thing. How long are we going to let him go undeveloped? Because the longer that Steph and them hold on, the longer he goes undeveloped.
I think he just has to, honestly, just wait out the contract and go to free agency.
That's the best bet at this point. I don't think that they don't want him. And I think they feel like they fucked up. I think if you ask the Warriors, like, hey, when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga and everything that you guys have done for him since you guys drafted him, do you think that you've done the best by him? I think they would answer no. Because I think that when it comes to a player like him, they basically were like, you're young, but you got to fit in. And where your fit in is, we don't know. Because when the Warriors were really on their runs, like when they brought in, like, say, the Sean Livingstons, the Leandro Barbosas, guys that were somebody or at least drafted as somebody at one time before, but now it's like, okay, I got to fit this role. Like a JaVale McGee, for example. Yeah. Like, I got to just fill in this role. Like, they prospered because it's like, Steph is going to be Steph. And Steph is just so monumentally great. And he's just going to figure it out. Klay, also monumentally great. Draymond, great for what he does and all that. Everybody else just got to kind of fit in. But when you're like, hey, I was brought in to be somebody. I was brought in to be a guy. The guy. It's kind of hard to basically like, I got to both fill a role and learn what role I got to fill, but also know that like my time is the time that got to come. And I think that they didn't really think about that. And they never really figured out how to basically make that. Cause it is impossible. It is hard. You know?
So this is what I'll say. with that being said, well, in the name that you brought up, JaVale McGee, made me think of something. JaVale had said one day on a podcast that playing with the Warriors, he played a role. But whenever he was in L.A., he had some of his career highs and some of his best numbers in L.A. So tell me this, and this is just a quick question for you guys before we jump to the next topic. Would you rather be a guy that's in a system that wins a championship, or would you rather go somewhere and play and get your career highs, even though you've never been a star like that? You've never been a star. Would you rather go somewhere and get your career highs and just play however that team allows you to play?
This feels like the Robert Horry and Charles Barkley like conversation, where Robert Horry is like, when somebody asks him, like, would you rather have Charles Barkley career or your own? He's like, I'd rather have Charles. Like, being a star and being a guy somewhere, like, yeah, I'd much rather be that. Like, be a Hall of Famer just by on my own merit and not just be a part of some shit, other shit. Yeah, I'd rather have that. But to that point, I don't want to be Kevin Martin, where it's like, you know, I'm getting 25 a game. Don't mean a fucking thing. You know, or like a Kevin Love on the Timberwolves, where it's like, where Charles Barkley for, you know, he always talked about looter and a riot. Like, I don't want to be that.
What about you? I don't want to be, honestly. All right, Robert Horry is a special case to me because I don't care what, you know, I don't care what nobody say. His contributions deserve a Hall of Fame. I don't care, because he's the reason why a lot of these stars have dynasties. He's the reason. His big shots are the reason why the Lakers three-peated. The reason the Spurs got a title. You know, he helped Hakeem get them titles. So I feel like he ain't big shot by for nothing. I personally,
it's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. I like Robert Horry's, I would like Robert Horry's career. Now, if you're talking about a different type of side piece, because Robert Horry is in a category of his own to me. Now, if you're talking about just somebody just hopping from team to team just to be a role player and just to get championships, but, you know, nobody really thinks of my name, no. Because, you know, when you think about Robert Horry, you know, his name come up on them championship teams because of his big shots. So if you want to think about just a role player that just hop from team to team. I see you, Rob.
I think part of that is because of who he did it for. If that nigga did it for, like, say, I don't know, the idiot, basically ain't never won it. I'm trying to think of another NBA champion. But, like, he did it for the Lakers. You do it for the Lakers, yeah, it's going to be bigger. You're going to be Big Shot Bob. But you do it for anybody else, I don't give a fuck. If he did it for Houston, if he just did it for Houston, or he did it for, like, if he just did it for Houston, San Antonio, like, I don't give a fuck. He did it for the Lakers. And that's really what it comes down to. Because, like,
I think it was for multiple. And I get it. One team, no. But for three different teams.
Yeah, but, I mean, but I'm saying, like, Robert Horry is even saying, I would rather have a Hall of Famer's career versus my own. But and I can see both ways. I can see it both ways, but I'm like, nah, I'd rather be Chuck. Being the star, being on commercials, and being like the dude. Like, nah, I'd rather be the dude than the other.
But look at Chuck. Look how much flack everybody gives him. Look how much Shaq roast him for being ringless on the show.
But that's because
so much flack.
But that's because of Chuck. Yeah. That's because of who he is. Like, Chuck be giving it, and he be trying to. He'd take it, yo, because he like, I know what I am. But he liked to give it, and that's the reason why.
The other thing is, and I'll say this: that dude who wore 23 for the Bulls, he stopped a lot of niggas from getting champions.
Right.
Hewitt don't have a ring. John Starks don't have a ring. Reggie Miller cries probably tears at night because he don't have a ring because of this dude. Like, Clyde is happy that the nigga took a break. And he got
Reggie was supposed to. That's Ron Artest's fault Reggie don't have a ring.
Hey,
that was their year, bro.
Can I
really blame him? Ron was laying on the table and somebody threw a drink at him. Okay, I'm just saying, if you was laying out at the beach or on the chair and somebody hits you with a drink, you're not gonna get up. I'm going away and cause hell right now.
I still laugh at that nigga sitting next to fucking Steven Jackson and being like, "You think we gonna get in trouble?" Like, I'm like. Like basically, and that's basically what he said. He was like, do you like, what do you think? Like, they call the cops. Like, what do you think is gonna happen?
At least he was hoping.
Oh, you think we gonna get in trouble? Like,
that shit was funny. I remember that night watching this.
Oh, I do too. I'll never forget that day. That's one of those like, where were you moments. Like, I'll never forget where I was ever.
Oh, at all.
Yes.
I could tell you. I had it on two TVs that night. My dad was watching in the living room, and then I had it in my room. And he said, "They out here swinging." I said, "Oh, yeah. It's going down."
Big TV on my auntie room, in my auntie house, in the living room. We had a little get together. I remember it was on. Me and my uncle pointed at, they boxing over there.
I wasn't even watching the game. Like, I was in the other room. Like, I had my TV in my room, and like, my parents, or my former stepmom and my dad were watching another room. All of a sudden, I heard my former stepmom be like, "Oh, damn." And I'm like, "What's going on?" Like, I didn't know what was happening. And then, like, she said something else. And I was like, "Okay, let me turn to the game." It's like something signaled me, like, turn to the game. So I turned it on, and basically it was like, "Oh, shit. Like, they fighting this and that."
It was ridiculous how they got down on that. Now, Rob, this topic up here still in the NBA that you put, and I have to agree wholeheartedly with it, and I have to go in at the end of this one. Nikola Jokic has earned his own star.
Mm-hmm.
He is, in my opinion, I know some people are going to say that Shea may still be the best player in the league. No, he is not. No, he is not. What man do you know can come out and tell a joke after he just put 56, 16, and 15 on the man and tell it and make a joke and say, "One day I'll lie about this legend of what I did tonight to my children," and then smile and walk off? What man do we know that has a grudge against Rudy Gobert that every time he sees him, it's a 30-point
give him the business?
Double? Oh.
Shaq told you, Rudy Gobert, barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken. As a matter of fact, if I was Minnesota, anytime I see you, hey, Rudy, take the night off.
Like, don't you got somewhere you got to be?
Look, we ain't trying to deal with him tonight.
Hey, how much PTO do you have? Like, I think you got some sick leave that you could take, like, tonight.
You got to have it.
Like, ain't you on the load management list for the night?
Your leg don't hurt? Your leg don't hurt? Like, you got an arm that hurts? Something?
The mangles ain't giving out the name. The mangles got to be giving out the name.
Chill out. Just chill out.
Untape him. Let him go. Right. Put him on therapy. But Jokic, 50-point triple-double shows that he is, to me, he's uncomparable. Okay? He should have people compared to him, bro. And not the other way around, just like you put. Yogi just went out here. And just to remind you guys, he had the 50-point triple-double, and then he had another 34-point triple-double the next night. Zaje hooping. Now, the big man, the all-time leader for centers in assists, hands down. He's probably going to put that record somewhere that we'll never see another center ever touch that. Look, it's time for me to say this. And then I'm going to let you guys go in. There is no more Carmelo Anthony in a 15 jersey in Denver. That is farce. That is legend. Those 8 years, his jersey was blank, as far as I'm concerned. There was a Carmelo Anthony there, but it had no number on the jersey. That number wasn't his. They gave it to the right person now. They gave it to the right man. Because 15 now would be synonymous with Nikola Jokic and all of his wonderful triple doubles and his championship and multiple MVPs that he bought to Denver in his tenure there. I don't know how you feel, Matter of fact, Vizky, how you feel? Because I saw you. I saw you sign.
Yeah. I want to hear what you guys say.
I mean, I feel like it was a personal decision from Denver. Even though I agree, like, Nikola Jokic, he has claimed the number 15 in Denver. But I feel like it was personally done toward Melo, you know. But it's unfortunate, you know. Like, when you think of number 15 in Denver, nobody's going to think of Melo anymore. They're going to think of Jokic. And it's the truth. That's what happened. But I also think it was a personal shot toward Melo, even though that was my boy. He was cold at what he did. It's in the back of the memory now. It's way, we got to reach forward to think about him now.
He's the number seven now, and it's New York.
Yep.
He's number seven, New York. That's what Carmelo Anthony is. He's the guy who went to Syracuse and then came back to the Knicks, had to make playoff runs, and he wore number seven. Denver Melo is no more. That is Jokic. Like I told Rob, it's only one thing Melo can say that he got cheated out of in Denver, and that's that Rookie of the Year award from LeBron. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing he can say. But Rob, how do you feel of me just passing by this 15?
I agree with Vizky. I agree with you, man. Like, mm-hmm. I think that, yeah, they basically gave Jokic the number 15 as like, you know, kind of a, I don't want to say a fuck you, because I mean, shit, the Cardinals gave Tony Sagacy the number 25. I think everybody in this audience is going to ask is, who is Thomas Sagacy? And you're right. But the thing about it is like, yeah, the Nikola Jokic is famously like, when he got drafted, it was a Quesaritos commercial that was on. Nobody even saw Nikola Jokic at the motherfucking NBA draft when he came into the league. And like, yeah, they gave it to him just like, all right, here, you got one. Even though Carmelo spent 8 years. But no, man, he is in his own stratosphere right now. Like, I think that, like, even right now, he's averaging 30, 12, and 11 for the season with effective shooting percentage of 66, you know, 85% from the free throw line. Like, he 44% from three. Like, he's
a big man.
As a big, like the thing about Jokic, where I say that like he has his own star, he makes the people that are exceptionally great at the league say that, oh no, he's different. Like, he is his own dude. Like, I love watching him play. Like, you don't like the way Chuck looked, and I know I'm doing a lot of Chuck right now, like I'm his fucking agent, right? But like the way Chuck looked when he was talking about Nikola Jokic was like, oh no. This is something that, like, this is a masterpiece. Like, this is the embodiment of what perfect basketball should be. And like, the thing is, like, he is that dude. Like, he does play the game at such an exceptional level that it's like, it is boring in a sense because of how it's boring. Just like people don't like classical music. Like, classical music has like a lot of elements that have like a lot of intricacies and all that. Where I don't even know how the fuck that shit go. But like, it's so many things put together that basically make something beautiful, and so many different elements that basically have people come together that it's just like, yeah, it's boring. It's not exciting. It's not compared to like a rock or a rap or whatever.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Like, but it's something that you can know that's like, okay, this is really good shit. Like, that's what Nikola Jokic is. He's just somebody that's like, oh no, this is really good shit, but he's just not visually appealing. As like a say John Morant or Zion when he's healthy, or like somebody like that jumps out the gym. Like, he's not that, but he is exceptional at what he does. And I think he's one of those real hoopers know kind of situation. And that's why he's over there riding a horse.
And I say that all the time, bro. I'm like, I watch his games and I'm like, how is nobody stopping this big slow motherfucker walking down the middle of the court? Like, whatever is working, like, how is this working?
Mm-hmm.
It just trips me out when I watch it. Like, I don't know, it just mesmerizes me that it works.
So look, I'm gonna tell you this. This is what I believe. Him and Luka are two dudes that play at their own pace. They make you play their pace of basketball all the time. Even whenever they're on defense getting boards, he makes you play his pace of board. He is not athletic, and he's leading the league in rebounds. I want to see he's leading the league in assists. He's top three in scoring.
Well, he's athletic. He's just not nimble. Like, he's not a guy that you like will basically point to as like, oh no, his feet are just like that. He's not clod hopping like fucking Rudy, but like, he's just not the most like fleet of foot motherfucker.
And here's the crazy part. They're third in the West and they're missing one of their key pieces. I'm gonna throw this out there, and this is me. If Aaron Gordon comes back and they're healthy, they might make another run at the championship this year. Because people forget Aaron Gordon just had a 50-point game this year where he hit like 10 threes. Aaron Gordon is going to be crucial. And as much as people are talking about how San Antonio done beat Oklahoma three times, it's one thing that I know. Wimby has no answer for Jokic. He's tried. Jokic puts that big body against his, and it's like, buckets. And it's like, he's 7'5", though. He blocks a bunch of shots. For some reason, he has a hard time blocking Jokic. And like I said, I think it's because he just plays at his own pace. And it's like, hey, man, you got to deal with me. And with Jamal Murray being healthy, and they get back Jokic, and they're missing Cam Thomas, but Cam Thomas wasn't really doing too much. But the other piece, and
Cam Johnson.
Missing, Cam Johnson. And they're missing Braun, because I want to say Braun just got hurt. They're winning. Yeah. They're churning. They're still third. They're right there. They get healthy. I think they make a play at this.
The thing you got to keep in mind, and we could get off of it after this, but like, thing keep in mind, this is the team that took the Thunder to 7 games last year. Like, and I think, I want to say Aaron Gordon was hurt that game 7 or whatever. So this is a powerhouse of a team. It's just that they just have to get that opportunity.
Because I'm willing to say, if they beat the Thunder last year and he's healthy, they're gonna walk in. They would have walked Indiana, because Indiana didn't have an answer for Jokic and Aaron Gordon, because they wanted to play Siakam and Miles Turner. And I'm gonna be real with you, Jamal Murray may not be an all-star all the time, but God damn it, whenever you need him to show up, he will come out there and he will light your team ablaze, and you will not know what the hell is going on.
He'll drop 25 easy.
Bro, he did it the other night, and I said, can't nobody hold him, huh? I said, just can't none of y'all stop him right now. Said, no, nobody can get in front of him. And he's not the biggest guard, but if you look at him in the past 5 games, 16, 27, 31, 35, 24, he's just out there hooping. Him and Jokic. It's like these motherfuckers play twos all the time at the YMCA, and they just whipping ass, sun up, sun down. Be like, I got a big slow dude, and I got a guard that ain't the biggest, but he hit a bunch of middies, and he gonna come through. And it's like, we just gonna whoop y'all ass all day long. Like playing two old men that's just beating people ass at the YMCL. You like, it's no way this old man is whipping my ass down here in the post. And
right.
He's just giving it to you. Hook shot. Fade away. I'm gonna stop, pull up for three. And he's slow, and he's slow as hell. But he gives it to you, man. He gives it to you. Now, Rob, one of the most precious subjects that we talk about, from the hardwood to the baseball diamond. Rob, Jeff McNeil to the A's feels like Alec Caruso to the Thunder. Do you feel like McNeil is going to have that type of presence on the A's? Because that's a young team. That's a young team, Rob. That's a young team.
A young team that is starred for really just pitching. Like, I think when you talk about like when you talk about Nick Kurtz, young naysayer, like, you got like them, you got Jacob Wilson. Not Jacob Wilson. Yeah, it is Jacob Wilson.
Yeah,
I was mixing up with his daddy. But now, you got like all these young players that are on this team that basically can really make a like make a nice little run. I think adding a player like Jeff McNeil, it just made me feel like when the Thunder added Alex Caruso, which is like this veteran that, you know, it's not like he's won a championship or anything like that. And, you know, it's like he's not like the best dude. I mean, he hit 243 last year or whatever. But it's a guy that basically can stabilize this team and basically make them like see themselves as something better than what they are. Because to be real, like this lineup is the one that makes me most excited, even though I fucking hate John Fisher for doing what he did with, you know, this, but with this team. But like Shai Langeliers, Jacob Wilson, Nick Kurtz, you know, Brent Rooker, Lawrence Butler, like all these players up and down this squad is like, good team. The only thing that they are missing is pitching up and down from rotation to bullpen to whoever you can think of. They just don't have it. And that's really the only thing that's holding them back. Like if they get good, if they get some decent pitching, just decent pitching, this is a team that can win the AL West this year. I love this lineup. I can't wait to watch this lineup. Granted, they're going to be, you know, I'm on the East Coast, so it's going to be sometimes I'm gonna watch this lineup, but I really love like what this lineup could do. Like, I really love what this lineup could be. Yeah. I really love what this team can be. It's just pitching. They don't have it at all.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be, like you said, this is kind of like Alex Caruso to the Thunder. I could see it, but I gotta say this. That team is, like you said, just a little pitching away. Just a little pitching away because they are young. And they have power, and they have speed. They have a lot of power.
Everything. And speed. Everything. Like, they have literally everything that you could want. Everything. If you were building a perfect lineup where you say, I got somebody to basically be at the top of my lineup that can hit for average with Jacob Wilson. I got somebody that basically can hit for power, which is Nick Kurtz and Jacob Wilson. And Nick Kurtz. Could hit for average as well. Like, you got speed where you say, I got Lawrence Butler that could go basically on the base pass. I got Tyler Soderstrom, who basically showed out last year. I got Brent Rooker, who is a vet on that team that basically is a guy that once this team actually does get somewhere, like, he could be the face of this team. Like, as far as, like, he's a great talker, great social media ad, everything. Like, he's one of the more, I would say, interesting players in all of baseball. Aussie. Oi, 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 all that shit. Like, I think this team is one of the most, the one that I'm most excited about in MLB this year. Like, I really am excited, like, with this lineup. Like, they can or something.
Yeah, I can see it. So, Fisk, A's picking up another bat. How you feeling about them?
Like, I like it. Like, and I like y'all say about the lack of pitching, it makes me worry because when you have to constantly outswing the other team, mm-hmm. It leads to, you know, a great beginning, but you tire out quicker toward the end. You know, when you got to constantly keep out swinging teams because you don't have the pitching. And my worry for them is, are they going to be able to build the pitching without sacrificing what they already have? Mm-hmm. That's my worry. Because are you going to be able to keep everything intact and build the pitching? Will you be able to afford the pitching you need and keep what you have? Mm-hmm. That's my worry for the A's. If they could do that, then they can really make some noise. But I feel like they need to get the pitching before they tire out their team too fast and it's just, you know, you run them into the ground.
Yeah, nobody wants to be a boat race team. Nobody wants a boat race all every game. It does make excitement sometimes, but, you know, nobody wants a boat race. Now, Rob, I see that you have a special announcement for the Pirates that you need to talk with them very close. So I'm gonna go ahead and give you the floor to go ahead and talk with them very close.
Pirates, my big dog. I want to talk to you right quick. Cause I've been tracking your moves. I really want to hear from you. Like, I want you to tell me what's good, what you got going on. Like, dog, y'all trying to be decent. I want you to talk to me. We got everybody here, but like, I want you to talk to me. I want you to tell me, are you trying to be decent? Because I'm looking at like the moves that y'all been making. Y'all added Jake Mangum. Y'all added Brandon Lau. Mm-hmm. Y'all added Brian O'Hearn. Like, y'all added some pieces here to, you know, go along with this team. Cause y'all still got Bubba Chandler, who was the number one prospect, you know, at one time or another. You got Paul Skeens, who is that dude.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Right now, when it comes to pitching, you know, we're just one of the Cy Young. Y'all still got O'Neal Cruz, who is the scariest motherfucking hitter that I've ever seen outside of Prince Fielder. Like, y'all trying to be decent. Like, I really want you to talk to me. I want to hear it from you, all right? You know, because I know y'all Pirates fans, y'all some cheap motherfuckers. All right, they know y'all some cheap motherfuckers. Like we'll squeeze that goddamn penny until like, you know, Abe Lincoln has like ropes around his neck. Like, y'all will squeeze that motherfucking penny. Y'all won't spend for shit. Y'all ain't going out there. Y'all ain't trying to do nothing. Y'all just been sitting in the cut, chilling, just sitting back, just being like, you know what? All right, we good. You know, Cardinals gonna do what they do. Cubs gonna do what they do. Bros gonna do what they do. Reds gonna do what they do. We just gonna be here. We just gonna be here, man. We got this. We gonna have this beautiful ass stadium. We're going to have these, you know, people that come to our kid. We got, you know, black and yellow, all that. But nah, man, I'm looking at you, dog. I'm peeping your moves, dog. Like, y'all trying to be decent or something? I just want to know. Like, because it, I ain't really seen, like, the stuff that y'all doing right now. Like, where y'all basically made some really nice moves. Like, I really like Jake. I like Jake Mangum. I like Brandon Lau. I like Ryan O'Hearn. Like, y'all been making some nice ass moves. Like, y'all was talking about just for a little bit. Y'all was talking about getting Kyle Schwarber. Like, I just want to hear from y'all. Like, what got into y'all? Like, is it a girl? Like, is it something? Like, what got into y'all? Like, who? What is making you have this such confidence in yourself that you feel like you need to go do something? I just want to know. I ain't saying you're doing anything wrong. I ain't really knocking you. I like it. You know, you got a little smell good on you. Like, you looking right. You know, but I just want to know. What's changed? Why are you changing?
Now, I'm gonna tell you what the hell is going on over here, Rob. And look, first, I'm gonna start with this. In the words of Marv, after having his ass kicked by Kevin McAllister, and Kevin McAllister asking, "Have you had enough?" Never. Never gonna change. They are never going to stop doing what they're doing. They are destined to lose. They're Haley's Comet of a pitcher.
Yeah.
Free agency at some point. They do not want to get better. They're not going to get better.
But they trying though. They like look at these. Like, if I basically say, and granted, like, I know a bunch of y'all ain't never heard of these names for real. Like, these are very much inside baseball names. Jake Mangum almost hit 300 last year. Ryan O'Hearn was an all-star. Like, these ain't just cats that's like at the end of their rope. That basically is like, oh shit, you know, like, I'm gonna gather up and get them off the clearance aisle. No, these are guys that are still like in, I won't say their prime, but like still viable options, especially to go along with Brian Reynolds and O'Neal Cruz. Like, you still got folks. And so I'm just like, hey, what is it? What y'all change up? Why y'all doing this now? I just want to know. I didn't know if it was a reason.
It's a farce.
It's
the smoke and mirrors. It is not meant to be what we see. They doing this to just shut people up. That's
exactly.
That's all they doing this for.
They want to keep their fans coming. And winning is not a top priority for them. Keeping doing just enough to keep the fans there. If I was O'Neal Cruz, you better get up out of there. You better go somewhere that's winning.
This is
the Cardinals. Shut
people up. I heard that.
What happened?
I still go somewhere that's winning.
Who happened? Oh. Now keep on going, Nate. Keep on going. we was having the time.
This is only to shut people up. That's it. This is just
to pacify.
This is just, hey, I'm doing something over here. That's it.
So basically, y'all saying this is just the Pirates like clicking over the mouse and basically making sure that they thing is green. That's what y'all saying.
They making sure the team stay lit green.
That's right. It's like, look, if I go yellow, they ain't gonna say something. They ain't gonna ask some questions. Like, let me make you do this shit green.
This is only to make people shut up. Just think about it. The Pirates would go on losing streaks to like Milwaukee and Baltimore, and Chicago would walk them. They had issues where they would just go out there and just lose. It was like, we walk. May I remind you this? They opened the season to the White Sox now, and lost 10-1, 10-4, 7-2. That's how they started the season, Rob. Started the season getting their ass whooped to the White Sox.
The leprosy-ridden White Sox.
I'm just throwing this out there. We talking about a team that won 60, they lost 100 games.
Yeah.
That's the team that they... It's
100 games.
It's only a couple teams below. Worse than that. Well, it's really one in particular. Who I love to talk about.
Deep in the Rockies.
Yeah. It's only them. It's like, you got to remember, bottom of the barrel last year was the Rockies and the White Sox. Everybody else was like 71, 72 wins.
Yeah, they fairly decent.
Yeah, they at least had 70-something wins. It was just them two down there at the bottom. That's it. That's who you lost to. That's who you opened the seat. Because the Pirates, like I said, they won 71. But are they making a push? No, they in the Brewers are still decent. Cubs are probably gonna still be decent. Cincinnati is probably still gonna be decent. Your Cardinals are trying to retool. They're at the bottom of the barrel.
I got something for y'all next week.
I'm just saying. You did help me out with a trade. You know, I thank you.
Nigga, we gave y'all a fucking team. Like, goddamn. Like, nigga, you know what? That's really what I want to talk about. Fuck next week. Okay, boom. You can go to other teams. You can ask them for their prospects. It don't have to be to where you got to go to your old crib because you still know what the password is for the door. You can go to another team to trade for assets. Are these assets seemingly cool? Yes. The Brandon Clark dude seems fine. Still young. Got to wait for him. Blaze Jordan. Great name. Hopefully comes up. We'll see. You can go somewhere else to trade niggas for somewhere else. You don't have to just go to the Red Sox. Got you. I know that you did what you did with the Red Sox and basically making them a high rated farm system. But it ain't like nobody else got anything else. Get somebody else from somewhere else, dog. Like Brandon Donovan. I know you want to trade him to the Red Sox. I know you. I know. It's hurting your soul that you ain't basically traded that nigga to the Red Sox right now. But look somewhere else. Look inward. Look somewhere that basically is not Boston. We gave him Contreras. We gave him Gray. We gave him Mets. How many niggas can we give this fucking team? And it's got to be the Red Sox. Somebody that basically we got history with. Win the world in the World Series. A team that we haven't really been able to get over. Now, yo ass want to go straight to them and basically give them everything that we basically got. Granted, there's people that had to go, but it's still the word, hey, move somewhere else. Diversify your bonds, nigga. Just do somewhere else.
I'm fine with what he's doing, okay?
I bet you are.
Yes, I'm fine with what he's doing, okay? He's helping boost my young lineup so we can make a playoff run. It's all this comes down to. Hey, look, somebody got to take a leak sometime, right?
Rob has reached the first stage of acceptance that his team is ass.
Oh,
you know, let's give it up.
You know what? Let's talk about your motherfucking Braves. All right, your motherfucking Braves that can't keep niggas healthy. Your motherfucking Braves that can't stay in Atlanta. Your motherfucking Braves that can't do a goddamn thing against nobody. What y'all record was last year? Ass and more ass. No, we don't need to talk about your goddamn Braves. One game
difference from the Cardinals.
Oh, yes, that's what y'all are. I'm just saying.
76. Well, it was 76 and 86, and then the Cardinals was 78 and 84.
Yeah.
Two games. Y'all was right there.
Glad y'all was able to pick yourselves up towards the end. We gave y'all a little leg up. I got you. But let's not talk about your Braves right now. Lord knows we don't want to do that shit. I'm trying to have a festive occasion. Here you trying to basically bring this bullshit here. I'm just saying.
Look, I'll let you make it, right? I'll let you make it. You know, because you know you did my work for me. You trashed your own team. My work is done.
I'll talk about mine, but I really talk about yours, nigga. Like,
you can hate all you want, man.
Nobody,
now he's gonna be quiet. Now he won't be quiet.
You sit your ass over there in the American League.
I'm in the American League. I'm in the American League, prospering. Okay,
that's what I mean. Y'all just got a taste of actual prosperity, nigga. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I'm in the American League, prospering. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing what I do. That's what I'm gonna do. I 89 wins last year. 89 wins.
Got my blood pressure all up.
I'm just saying that's what it is. Rob was like, "Nah, I ain't having this shit."
I'm already basically yelling at one nigga. I'll yell it too.
He said, I'll do this today.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I feel you. But what else, you know, we're going to finish up with that. So, guys, we're all wrestling fans here. We're all big-time WWE fans here. And we gotta talk about this. So, the aftermath. The events after John Cena being gone, okay? Mm-hmm. So, we all know John Cena retired. I ain't gonna say it wasn't the best, or it wasn't the best thing to happen, but we'll say John Cena retired and we just had to deal with it. We knew what was coming. We knew what was gonna mm-hmm. happen. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it's like, hey man, we just gotta deal with this. But now, because of who retired John Cena, Gunther, we all know AJ Styles is up next. We all know we're looking for AJ to retire, and then we're looking for Brock Lesnar to retire. Okay, the word is we're looking for Brock to retire. I want to say it's going to be SummerSlam in Minnesota is where I want to say he's going to go out. AJ, they're not exactly which show he may choose. But with that being said, is Gunther going to be the guy that we feed those two guys to? And we're going to dub him the new legend killer of the WWE as of right now. Is this going to be a run that's going to be pushed and lived up to? Or is this something that, like me and Rob discussed one time, are we billing him to feed him to Oba Femi, or for him to get into it with Oba Femi over time? Where are we going with this? So, but all in all, is it good enough to say, hey, he is the legend killer of WWE right now?
Well, take it wherever you want me. I go. Currently, it looks like that's what they're doing. To me, you're setting yourself up for him to be the most heelish of all heels. To me, this sets him up as a lifetime heel. I don't think you can ever turn him face if you're going to feed him Brock, AJ, especially after Goldberg and Cena. If you're going to have him retire all these people and piss off the WWE universe that much, you're setting him up as a lifetime heel. And also, this means you have plans for somebody to be the most over face ever. You're going to feed him to somebody that you want to set up to be the future face. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know if they want to stick him with Cody, which, God, I hope not. But somebody is going to be set up to be the biggest face ever when he goes through and runs through all these legends and retires all these people and gets the crowd really booing. I don't know if it's going to be Oba. I don't know who they're going to choose, but somebody is in line, I feel like, to be the new face, the new babyface face of the WWE. And that's what I think they're setting them up for. Bringing up the heel this high to insert a babyface.
Who, though? The question, because we have a little time today. Who is going to be that guy? Who do we think? Because I think you can only go maybe a handful of guys. Like, if we pulled up a WWE roster right now, who we going with? Just who are we flexing out with? Like, cause I could tell you now, my choice is probably Oba. Like, I think he's the one person that I probably go with right now. I don't think that you can feed him to Cody. Cody would be
me personally. I think the way things going, when they finally turn Dom face, I think that could be the one they feed him to. If you want to, because I feel like he has the potential to be the one of the biggest faces. The crowd loves Dom regardless of if he's a heel. And they are showing cracks in the Judgment Day right now. But yeah, Oba, because when they brought Oba out against Cody, they kind of showed him into the, you know, made him look like a face. So it could be Oba. That could be the new face they trying to set up. I say Oba or Dom. That's my two choices.
Who do you think, Rob?
I would say Ilya. That'd be the number first verse I would think of, mainly because they got the history, and because the only thing I think that they don't want to give it to Ilya because he gets hurt a lot. He can't stay healthy. I think he's one of the more magnetically charismatic like wrestlers. That great entrance, great style, great wrestler all overall. I think that they would want him to be the guy. But yeah, like Oba would be a good one. At least for against Gunther. Like Javon Evans, I've become a huge fan of Javon Evans. I think he's one of the more magnanimous personalities that they got. And I think he's a great wrestler and everything like that, but I don't think they want to put him with somebody like Gunther. But yeah, Ilya would be my number one name if they're basically going to give somebody a baby first term, which is why I think they turn him babyface and everything like that. But you really don't have to do it with Ilya. Even in the same thing with Oba. Like, Oba's not really a babyface. Like, Oba's just a dude. He's a destroyer. And I think that you can basically have shit. You can have a match between Ilya and Oba. And I think that'll tear the house down. Yeah. Like, but you don't really have a ton of other baby faces that you can really put in there that would be like the future. So like a Sami Zayn, for example, would be a good one. Sami Zayn has a history with Gunther, has shown that he can win a world title. I think he's ready whenever they want to do it, but he's just older.
So I've had a while just thought. And I just want to see if y'all agree with this or where we think where this could go. What if this is just a setup to feed him to like Jay and put a title back on Jay?
I guess Jay is not the first person I would want. I think Jay has earned it because of what he's done.
Okay.
You know, he's done a lot of great things, but I would personally rather have Ilya.
Okay.
If given the choice.
So if we have a choice, you'd rather Ilya. But I gotta ask this real quick. Do we feel like Jay was over whenever he
Oh, he's been over.
Major.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's been over.
So let's say this. Let's say we're not gonna give it to him. This is just another one. This is personally my opinion, who I'd like to see as a single star. What if it was Bron Breakker?
I love it, Bron Breakker. I love Bron Breakker. But he's not that babyface kind of guy. And granted, we talking about people that are tweeners, but I don't know if he could be that tweener right now.
That storyline about to go for a while, so it'll be a long time before I feel like him and Gunther cross paths again. Now, my personal favorite that I would like to see that a lot of people might not agree with, feed him to my tribal chief. Feed him to my tribal chief. Put my tribal chief back in the main picture, baby. Come on now.
There's one problem with it. Roman battles so much sickness, and he's not there. I think they did the numbers, and in the past year or two, he's only wrestled like 40-something times.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would work.
That was because of his new contract, but go ahead, Rob.
Let's go along those bloodlines, though. Jacob would be a perfect person. I would love to see Jacob versus Gunther. Jacob is a guy that basically has a great personality. He can be that number one baby face for the company. He could be like the dude. Like, Jacob would be a good one.
Okay.
I love it.
So Jacob, maybe we see
actually Jacob is my number one right now. I would rather have Jacob over everybody.
This could be something that, because I think WWE isn't really paying attention. I think they see us, and I always die on this hill. I think they see us and don't put what we think, or they don't put what the fans may want as their number one thing. Because I feel like they say, we want money. Well, you know, if you kind of listen to the fans a little bit, you're going to get money, because people are going to come to see what they want. But with what you just said, Jacob, if it continues the bloodline, I could see it, because Roman doesn't wrestle a lot, and we know it's partially because of his sickness. You don't have a lot of guys. You have a lot of good upcoming talent. You got a guy who's been a general. He's now a legend killer. Well, that's the run that I'm assuming that they're going to give him. So now, give him to somebody there. Give him a person that's going to be worthy of killing this, and let that person hold the title. This could be something wild. Jacob holding the title could be wild. Like, I'm not going to lie to
you. I would love it.
He could hold the title. That would get a bloodline, another revitalized push. But it also give you a baby face that people have to shoot towards, and that you can build up other villains up under. And, hey, that could work. Mm-hmm. That could work. That could technically work, Rob. That could be a very good idea. Like I said, WWE, I told you, $100,000 apiece, you can have me and my homeboys come write. $100,000, that's only $300,000, and we can come start writing y'all storylines for y'all.
Definitely.
We'll get this knocked out. We'll get paid. The fans will be happy, and we want 2% of all revenue over the next couple years. Just
merch, everything. Come on.
Yep, we want a little bit of that. We want a little piece of the pie. Right? We even settle 1.5% because we know that y'all about to make that money. We gonna get this money. Now, from the squared circle to the 100 yards on the football field. Rob, I have to agree with what we talked about with this. Why is Justin Herbert the only quarterback in the NFL getting so much sympathy? He doesn't have enough. They're not working for him. Every time we turn around, Justin Herbert has an issue that they have, and they got plenty of tissues for him that they hand to him and say, it's not your fault, Justin. It's everybody else's fault. Why is that a thing, Rob? Why do you think that's a thing?
I think it's because the media, NFL media, picked this motherfucker out, especially when everybody was big on Tua in that same draft. Everybody was tank for, or they were like, the Dolphins would tank for Tua and all those kind of things. Even the Dolphins didn't do whatever. But like, everybody was on Tua, but these NFL media basically saw Justin Herbert play at Oregon. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this guy's so great. You know, he's that guy, boom, boom, boom. And so they latched onto him and basically just was like, all right, this is the guy that we need to basically be our guy. Yeah. And no matter what happens, no matter what transgressions happen with his team, like no matter what he does in the playoffs, where every other quarterback seemingly gets judged except for him, it just Teflon's off of him. Nothing ever really matters. And so, like, I think they just like him so goddamn much. And I don't know if he just got the good. I don't know if he got the good weed or what, but like everybody just don't really comment on him. And like it's always, if he's doing bad, somebody else's problem. His line ain't really healthy. It's he doesn't have his skill players. It's he's hurt. All these kind of things where it's like, if it's any other quarterback, whether it's a Dak, whether it's a whoever, like it's basically just like, well, they gotta figure it out. They gotta come up. Same thing with Joe Burrow for that matter. Even though I love Joe, you know, I think Joe is one of the four best quarterbacks in the league. It's one of those things like QB stats or QB sacks is a quarterback stat when it comes to these stat nerds. But when it comes to how, you know, Joe Burrow has so many sacks, like he got sacked 200 times in like the last 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
It's always, well, the line is the fault. Like with Joe, with Justin Herbert, when he's getting like sacked and getting knocked out, it's always the line's at fault. Mm-hmm. When with every other quarterback, when they're getting sacked, on to the ball too long, they're not basically putting people in the right shape, or they're not audible and right, they're not doing something. It's always something that they're not doing right. But when it comes to Justin Herbert, it's always somebody else's fault. The coaching is bad. It's always somebody else. It's never him. He can't do no wrong, even though in the playoffs that motherfucker gave up a big lead. Maybe no, he's not on defense, I understand, but he had like lost a big lead and didn't come back against the Jaguars. And then got the doors blown off of him with the against the Texans, where he threw four interceptions.
Yes,
like, but none of that matters. None of that ever comes up. It's always, well, he's just a delicate flower. He's so sweet. He has the hair, and he's always just so mild mannered. And I love watching him play. This is not a knock against Justin Herbert. I think he's a great quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think that he's one of the most exciting quarterbacks I've ever seen. Like, when he rears back and really flings that motherfucker, he's great. But I also have to go with, like, why did this motherfucker always get the sympathy and no other quarterbacks do? Out of all the quarterbacks in the league, everybody else gets, well, you should have did better, except for this nigga. It's never to where he has to be better. It's always something that he is somebody else's fault. But why? I don't get it. I never got it.
So, Visky, do you think that he gets enough blame?
No, he don't get enough. Because let me tell you, I was the one who has never been impressed. I was never on the, you know, the impressed people of Justin Herbert. I've always said he ain't shown me enough to get the credit that a lot of people give him. We are past the sympathy stage. We passed the sympathy year. Now he done been in the league too many years to get all the sympathy and all of it's not his faults. It's time for him to start taking accountability and getting the blame. He ain't doing something right. He ain't doing something right. Stop trying to shift the blame. As the QB, he got to take on that responsibility. He has to take on the accountability as the head of the team and say, I could be better here. I could be better here. And as long as the media and everybody is just going to cover him, he's going to stay covered. No. Put him out there. Like I said, I've never been impressed. I don't see what the big deal is about him. He's not a bad quarterback by whatsoever. No, I don't think he's a bad quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's just that I never put him at the height on the pedestal that other people put him on, because he hadn't showed me that yet.
Okay. Now, with that being said, now I think that we all kind of agree that he does have too much sympathy thrown. I'm going to throw a few teams out there to you guys, and I just want you guys to tell me, do y'all think that this is a quarterback issue or an organizational issue? Okay. So the first team I'm going to throw out there are the Dolphins. Is that a quarterback issue or is that that an organizational issue?
Oh, that's a good one. Ooh. So, Bisky, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
It's an organization. And the reason why I say that is because think about what we've been talking about. Think about what I've been saying about the longest when it comes to this team. That coach ain't doing it for him
at all.
He's basically, he's kind of like starting to get people kind of off his back as he kind of had marginal wins here and there. But like, when it comes to that team, that's the organization. And you could basically say, well, you know, Chris Greer, who's now fired, basically didn't put a great team around him, even though he was the one that actually got Tyreek Hill and like all of these players and everything like that. This team never really finds a way to actually pivot. And when they brought that coach in, it was because he was from that Kyle Shanahan tree where, hey, we don't have our starting quarterback that's going to basically be there. but we have this system that's going to get people open no matter what. He never brought any of that to that team. It's only been, well, Tyreek Hill is here. He's going to basically bust it open, and it's going perfect world. We'll basically have a great team. But when that nigga goes down, that team has no clue what to do. It's like basically in the opening scene in Bug's Life where the leaf falls in between the ants and you hear the ant go, I'm lost. It's like that's the way the Dolphins are anytime there's an injury that basically happens on that team. They don't know what the fuck to do. So I say it's an organization.
What do you think, Missy? Organization or is that the quarterback?
Both.
Mm.
Tua's ass is an NFL QB. And the organization, this is the Brian Flores karma. Gotta hit the Whoopi Goldberg hand until you do right by me. Everything you touch is gonna crumble. You know, this the Brian Flores, you know, karma, man. They did my boy bad after two winning seasons. And everything they got right now is gonna crumble because of that situation. And they just don't know what to do over there. I think they just stuck right now.
I do kind of agree with you, Biscuit. It has to be both of them. Tua ain't cutting it. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Josh McDaniel, I feel like in the offseason, does lines of coke with like a Tony Montana lookalike or something. Because it's things that are unreasonably done in this team's offense that you can't explain. Like you just can't. And I'll throw this out there. It is pieces of this Kyle Shanahan coaching tree that are very overrated. They got the money because of Kyle Shanahan and not with Dave actually done. It's not. I don't know. Maybe it'll work itself out. Maybe it will. Now, the Jets, is that organizational or is that a QB issue?
It's the Jets.
It's the Jets. Like
that's it. That's open and shut case dental.
They one of them organizations that I don't feel like gonna ever be good.
Can't get right. They might though. I would say look out year two, because the thing about it is the Lions started out bad and then they got better. And I think Aaron Glenn can be, he has the capability to be a good coach, but he ain't starting out great. And I think that year two, I think is what's gonna see it. Year three, if like the Lions, they could get at least one or two good drafts, I think this team is going to be much better.
Okay. Now, this one I'm going to ask you guys. I'm pretty sure I think I know which way you guys are going to go. Cleveland Browns.
Do you even really have to stay long on this? It's the Browns. Browns.
The team that basically gave that motherfucker $230 million guaranteed, and he barely played. Let me look.
I don't think he's played that many games. I don't think Deshaun Watson has played that many games.
Let's see. For the Browns, he has been there 3 years. He has played 19 games.
Yeah.
And three, wow.
Yeah, that's it. He don't play. He does.
But this
play.
Is year four, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah. I said
he hasn't played more than seven games.
I said that they only got to wait out one more year. They only got to wait one more out.
You only have to wait the storm so much longer. You gotta just batten down the hatches, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, the storm's just gonna keep on hitting this motherfucker. Like,
now, granted, yeah. He's made his money.
Of course. But he's been, when he is on the field and he's not tearing his fucking Achilles after doing the TikTok dance or whatever, like, he is basically, yeah, he's been shit.
And on top of that, I also say this. You got a rookie quarterback that has been sabotaged by the head coach multiple times. Mm-hmm. And it is so much wrong in Cleveland at times. I don't think they know their head from their ass at times. I really don't.
Deshaun Watson up until this point has thrown, let me see. He's thrown 3,000 yards. He's at 3,300 yards in the last 3 years. His last year in Houston, he threw for 4,800 yards. Mm. He hasn't eclipsed what he basically did in 1 year in the last four.
So I'm calling this ahead of time, just so we're clear. If he come out there for 1 year and puts on a masterclass of a show. Do not be fooled. I've seen this before. His name is Paul George. Okay, I'm so mad. His name is Paul George.
Paul George ain't never been this bad. You can't tell me that Paul George has been this bad.
But Paul George is also known for, I'm a miss. And in that contract, yeah, I'm balling out of control.
Yeah, but nigga, like this nigga? Like, yes. I got more woof in me. Going old nasty ass to Sean Watson. But the thing about it is like, he ain't never, Paul George, no matter what regular season you're in that motherfucker been, he ain't never been this bad.
But I'm just saying, it looks familiar if he comes out there and does, if he come out
Deshaun there. Sean Watson, he is competing with Seth Rollins for heist of the century.
Oh my God. Nah, he got Seth Rollins beat. He can beat him with He could be with Anthony Rendon for heist of the century.
Yeah.
Nigga.
Yeah.
Nigga.
It's some people who they made their money. Anthony, look, if we ever made a list of people who should be ashamed of themselves in professional sports for how much they've gotten paid versus played, Anthony Rendon and Deshaun Watson are 1A and 1B.
Nigga. That nigga bad. Anthony. And nigga, at least Anthony Rendon had one nice year. He had one good year with the Angels. He just ain't had shit since. Like, that first year with the Angels, which was the COVID year, he had like a 916 OPS. It was pretty good. Or he did have some good time. He was 10th in MVP voting for that year. It's just everything after that. It's kind of like with Albert Pujols. I don't know what it is. Because I've been to Anaheim once. And it's actually a really nice place. I actually enjoy myself. Like, it's actually a really nice. Like, I was like, man, I could live here if it only wasn't out the ass expensive. Like, Anaheim is nice as fuck. But that nigga, it's something about that place and him is cursed. Like, it's. But nah, he's been ass. And he's barely played.
Look, I'll say this. It's a point with Deshaun Watson where all I can say is this. One, if you come out there and put on a masterclass, shit, I will jump. Look, that would be the one time I would jump in front of the NFL track. Hold up, don't believe him, because I've seen this before. It comes with a really good year, and then a lot more sneak until the next contract comes up.
Okay? Oh, I mean, we'll have our all contract team for MLB coming up in the next couple months. Like, yeah. We're up on game, but it's just like, yeah, nigga. I believe me growing to be 6'4" before I believe that nigga basically going to it in 2019.
Now, if he was to come out there and do that, I'd get ready for your girl spread. All right,
he better go fishing with Ben Simmons and take some time off.
I'm not even gonna get in on that because he shoots left handed and he works a fishing rod right handed. I swear to God, whenever somebody pointed this out, I said, that's his issue right there. That's literally
his issue. He's a little kid right that don't know he needs to actually throw left-handed or bat left-handed. Because we actually had one on my son's team. We actually had a little cat like that.
I'm telling you, he doesn't know. He's a grown-ass man, and he never figured out which hand he needs to use. I'm willing to bet he uses his right hand to write, and he's never thought about shooting a basketball with his right hand.
I can believe that though.
If I was a shooting person, that would be the first thing I'd do. I'd be like, put the ball in your right hand and shoot.
But for that matter, Tua is actually, I think, right hand dominant, but throws left because his dad made him throw left. Like, his dad made him into a left handed quarterback.
He also turned his back to the side of every massive defensive end that's coming from that side. Is what he did. He made him turn his back to the side that every one of these motherfuckers is rushing above. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, that's the one time whenever I see Myles Garrett line, I mean, Myles Garrett wants your back. And Myles Garrett say, you're going to turn this way because the ball is in your hand, and I'm going to be back here. I'm going to be hawking you down like the water boy with pain and agony in my screen to get to you. Okay. That Tua's dad set him up for them concussions. Bam, right there. That's all it is. He set him up in the long
run. Set him up for failure?
He set him up. Rob, every one of these massive motherfuckers, Chris Jones, all of them, they love lining up on the on their left because they know he's putting his back to me. I'm going to hurt him. Because they not running at him no more in the face. He's open season. That's what they set him up. I got two more that I want to throw out here. Well, actually three. I know one of these might sting here in a minute. Las Vegas Raiders. Is that an organizational thing or is that a QB thing?
Yes.
Just the everything.
It's a QB. I don't think yes, because I look at how decent Geno was at the Seahawks. It went to the Raiders and immediately started stinking. Raiders is another organization that I feel like is never going to be good.
Perpetual ass, yeah.
They're never going to be good. He was, for some reason, that Seahawks system is working in this time, you know. That Seahawks system is working. It had Geno looking good. It got Sam Darnold looking good. So I think Geno going to the Raiders was just a downfall.
Okay. Okay. I can see that. Your Dallas Cowboys. Is that an organizational thing or is that a quarterback thing?
That's an owner thing.
I mean, it's the organization.
Because definitely it's a Jerry thing. We know that's the number one top problem. And not a quarterback thing, a defense thing.
Yeah. Organization.
It's a defense thing. All right.
Well, it mainly falls from Jerry. You know, everything trickled down from Jerry.
All right. So the last one, Arizona Cardinals. Is this on Kyler Murray or is this on that organization?
Oh, yes.
Is on the organization?
I think both.
You think both?
I think Kyler has some blame in his own development. I do think that Cliff Kingsbury also just wasn't really a good head coach. Mm-hmm. I think he was a great offensive mind. He just isn't a good head coach. And I think that kind of stunted the development, but Kyler also didn't help himself with certain things.
What about you?
I think it's more on Kyler because for some reason, I just don't think he's made to succeed in the NFL. I think he's kind of definitely undersized. Everybody can't be Mike Vick out there. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't be Mike Vick. And I just don't – he's undersized. And for his size, I don't think he knows how to use his size in the NFL to help him succeed that great.
Okay. Now, with that being said, I'm going to make a statement, and I want y'all to correct me if I'm wrong. When have we ever seen them pairing the college coach or a college coach that they like with the young quarterback that's freshly out of college and it's 100% worked?
Pete Carroll.
With Russell? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you had that one. But outside of them?
Jimmy Johnson.
But who did he have?
Troy Aikman.
Okay, now we're going way back now.
I mean, you're asking how many times? No, it's not a ton. I mean, I ain't saying it's that. It ain't that. For one, you don't get that many college coaches that basically get head coaching gigs. But like, but especially now. But like, no, nah, I mean, it's not a ton of them because it's not a ton of those situations. But no, there are examples.
So I think that you need to bring in, if a college quarterback was successful at certain things, that you need to bring in some semblance of whatever he ran in his system. Because I'm a firm believer of this. If it wasn't for Deshaun Watson ass out there getting hurt all the goddamn time, I don't think people realize it, but the offense that he ran at Clemson is similar to the offense that he ran as a Texan. There's a lot of similarities in those two offenses. With that being said, he got to be a Brown and they ain't do none of that shit. So I think if he maybe had more of that, maybe he would have had a little bit more success as a Brown. But, you know, he's getting injured left and right. And like you pointed out to the masses, he's had more yards in his last season as a Texan than he's had in his entire tenure as a Brown right now. Which should speak volumes upon volumes to people of what the hell is going on with him. And I could make many, many things of saying, I need you to stay away from women in massage parlors, okay? Just
predator.
Yeah. look, do you need like a supervisor? Do we need to put somebody on to
put a location device on his ass?
Like nigga, like you can't be too. You can't be like you need somebody else to be in between you and a woman that's basically doing her job. Like,
yeah. Now, granted, some of them called back for him to get the job done again, but it's something we need some sort of supervision between all of you, because something is going on that we don't know what's going on. And look, if that's the type of business y'all run, let him know, let the organization know that we know what to expect. Okay. Maybe they just need to pick up. Matter of fact, you know what? Deshaun Watson to Vegas, okay? Because it's legal out there for what he looking for.
That nigga wasn't worried about legal. Like, that nigga. I know.
Let's at least put him in legality.
That nigga was going for people that basically weren't in that business. There's people you can call to get that shit. Period. That nigga wasn't calling them. That nigga was calling motherfucking regular ass massage therapist X, like, to basically do that shit. Nigga, the nigga just, like, if you wanted to do that, if you want to play a fantasy, play a fantasy, but play a fantasy with somebody that actually wants to play that fantasy. Yeah. That's what that nigga didn't do.
And that's why I said I'd just move you to Vegas and put one on roll for you. Like, I'm begging you to go deal with him, okay? So I can
chill your nasty ass out.
That's all you got to do with it.
You put one on payroll. He might not never even come in. He might fall.
I'm going.
Enough money to do it.
I'm going to get him like Jordan and when got robbed. Whenever his ass is in Vegas, I'm popping up. Where the hell is you at? What are you doing? Which is probably one of the funniest stories that I heard whenever I watched The Last Dance. Just Michael Jordan. Pop up to the room and I'm trying to that was a Carmen Electra and I'm trying to cover myself up and it's like isn't this funny? Michael Jordan just pops up at the room to come and get Dennis, and if Dennis come up, we need to go back to Utah just right now. Just let's go. And Phil, I blame you, but then I also don't blame you, because if not, there would have never been this hilarious ass story for them to tell about what happened. Bill, 24 hours is enough. 48 hours is enough. Bill, you should have known that was a lie. You should have known the lie. Oh, now, there is one other one that I could question. But I think that their situation will work itself out, and that's your team, Rob.
Because I knew you was going to say shit. I was like, this nigga was on the last one at least about 3-4 teams ago. Like, this was supposed to be, we did 7 teams when the last one was the third. Yeah, like, yeah. Nah, do I think it's an organizational problem, or do I think it's a quarterback problem? Maybe. Like, nigga,
now you want to go maybe.
I think the quarterback is young. I think he hasn't started 16 games yet, and I think he's going to basically prosper into a good quarterback. That being said, if Lamar Jackson is going to be up for trade, I will slap a motherfucking stamp on his head and a second round pick in his pocket and hit and push that nigga to motherfucking Baltimore. But that's not what we're talking about. We're asking if basically it's an organization. Who is a first class organization, by that ad, with the Minnesota Vikings? I don't work for the niggas, but I know that they get a lot of high ratings. Bro. But I'm saying that this is a team that basically has a lot of structure and a lot of things around it. And so I can't blame the organization for how he is. I blame his motherfucking body. I blame his motherfucking brain. But the thing about it is, he hasn't had enough starts yet, and he will have that sooner or later. And hopefully he can stay healthy and basically lead us to somewhere that isn't the motherfucking 500, which
Rob,
we are right now.
Rob, you just gonna pack up JJ McCarthy like that if Lamar Jackson is available?
You can't pack up y'all future, Rob.
I will UPS. I will DHL that motherfucker on to Baltimore. Baltimore, prepare to have McCarthyism, buddy.
Put some holes in the box, man.
like nigga, like, hey, I hope you enjoy, you know, fucking crab cakes and people that say you. I hope you. The harbor is nice. I've been there. Baltimore is a very nice city. I've been to Bodymore. Yeah, it gets that notice. It gets known for that. But you know, you'll live.
Rob said, throw some Lunchables in there. Go ahead.
Be all right.
Put him in the box.
We'll be all right.
Just ship me Lamar back.
I'm like, man, we're gonna end the show. Okay, he ain't gonna talk about my team. He talked about his, he ain't gonna talk about mine. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
Hey, my quarterback is down. My quarterback is down. We have some issues, but it's like, we know what's coming over. And I just gotta say this. Real quick, who do y'all think might pull this out for the Super Bowl? If you had to make a split second decision, or who you think will win this?
The two teams going, or who I think winning?
You can pick the two teams going, or who you think winning.
I'm going with a surprise. I'm going Seahawks over Broncos.
I'll go Texans over. I'll go Texans and Rams.
Texans and Rams.
Okay. That's an interesting one.
So I'm gonna throw this one out there. I'm gonna go Chicago and Buffalo, and Chicago will probably pull this out if they face Buffalo.
Let's go. Buffalo, Chicago's fool's gold.
Everybody's fool's gold right now.
I think they're the foolsiest of golds.
No. I think Denver is the foolsiest of gold.
Fair enough.
Denver is definitely the foolsiest of all gold.
They can win close games, though. They have proven that close games, they can win them.
Is it winning close games, or is it holding on not to fall off the edge?
It's working.
Is it that the scissor lift made it to the building in time to save my ass? Because I showed this to Rob. I told this to Rob. They got 8 wins that are 3 points or less. And this ain't no good teams. We talking 3 points or less that they barely beat. This is, I held on just long enough. Look, I clenched my ass sheets just long enough to get to the house to make the toilet. Okay. I was speeding on the 40. Look, I was in the suburb with a sign say 25, now doing 50. I was running past the little deaf children signs and everything. I was determined to make it home at that point, and I made it. Yeah, but it is what it is now. So, with that being said, we are Bruh Bigos Podcast. As you can see, we love to have fun, sit here, talk sports, cut up with y'all, and do our show. You can catch us here on YouTube live, as you see on the weekend. We come to you guys either Saturday or Sunday. Rob also has the clips go up from the show, so you can partake in your favorite parts of the show. You know, you can go back and rewind them. You can watch them. You can see them up on YouTube. You can see them up on TikTok, because, you know, TikTok is where it's TikToking at. Now, before I go ahead and end the show, is there anything you guys want to say before we get about it?
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. All that good shit. Listen to our podcast. You can find us on podcasts, wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah,
whether it's YouTube, podcasts. Pandora, Apple, Spotify, we all there. Just look, just type us up. We'll be there.
Yeah, just look up Bruh Bigos Podcast. We're there. What about you, Visky?
Nothing. Y'all know we're coming. Happy New Year, because, you know, next week it'll already be done crossed over. Hope y'all had a good 2025. So
yeah,
we'll see y'all in the next year, baby.
Yeah. We'll see next you guys episode. Come up. That'll be the third or the fourth. We'll be back to you guys. We'll be back in action. Bringing in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be bringing in the new year. And let me see. Do I have anything to say? Ravens versus Steelers next weekend. I do think the Ravens will some kind of way beat Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to see his old ass go to the sideline. That's what I'm hoping for. That's just me.
He's going to go out with an L, huh?
Oh, hell yeah. I think the only thing would please me more than him going out with a L is if Rudy Gobert showed up at the game and touched him and gave him COVID. That's
no Lord.
That's the only thing would make.
I mean, I was thinking like how Andre the Giant and Bobby the Brain Heenan was getting carted off at WrestleMania 3, but yeah, that's good too.
Yeah, that could happen to him too. They could cart him off the field, and I'd be like, damn, he went out like that. It could happen.
Be riding on the cart.
Nah, I think that they're gonna have his ass stretched out on a stretcher if they catch him.
They're gonna be like this.
It's gonna be over if they catch him. Trust me, it's gonna be over if they catch him. With that being said, guys, we're out of here. Good night.